Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.
I have declared a public health emergency.
Today, I'm announcing we'll be issuing safer at home. Order tomorrow.
The idea that we could have a vaccine for coronavirus is extraordinarily exciting.
I agree with Governor Evers' decision. The election is moving along.
In excess of 500,000 ballots have already been mailed out.
Well, if we do an all absentee vote, it's going to be virtually impossible to do all of that counting.
Efforts will continue until there is no more COVID-19 in our state.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind for March 27th. We delayed this taping, this version of Rewind, so we could hear the latest update from Governor Evers and officials of the Department of Health Services. So before we do a day-by-day look at this week, the amazing developments shutting down a lot of state government, I and JR want to talk about what the governor just announced. JR, let me go first. The governor is asking the legislature for three things. He just announced this. All votes would be mailed all voters would be mailed absentee ballots, point one. Point two, the ballots posted by Election Day would be counted. Point three, local officials would get more time to count them. What's your reaction to this news that the governor just made, JR?
Well, let's break down numbers first and then reality. So numbers first, as of today, we have requests for 767,196 absentee ballots. Remember that Governor Evers has been calling on people for days. When people asked him if we should delay the election, his answer has been, we have a very easy system in Wisconsin to request an absentee ballot. Let's rely on that. He talked about how easy it was for him and his wife to do it, ask for that ballot. So that's the number. We're closing to 800,000. Remember, last year, the entire election for Supreme Court had 1.2 million voters. In 2016, we had, with contested primaries on both sides for president, we had about 2.2 million voters. So that's some perspective, okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's talk reality. This call is coming 11 days from the election. He's asking lawmakers to convene, pass a law, and then have clerks be able to mail ballots to everybody. They have them returned, as far as I understand, by April 7th. If they're postmarked on that date, they'd then be able to be counted. Right now, our current law, you have until April 2nd, I believe it is, to request an absentee ballot. It must be received at the polling site by 8 p.m. on election day to be counted. Otherwise, you're out of luck. I just don't know, not an expert on this, if you can get lawmakers to act quickly enough to mail those ballots out. Because don't forget, we have four separate federal lawsuits right now seeking to make changes to this election, from what the governor's asking for, mailing absentee ballots to every registered voter, to pushing back the deadline to count those ballots, to pushing back when they have to be received, to actually delaying the election to as late as June 2nd. This parallels those things, but I don't know if they could get this done in time, have it mailed out, because those suits keep mentioning that clerks right now have such a backlog of absentee ballot requests, we're having trouble sending them out within the required 48-hour window.
The governor was asked, why not issue an executive order carrying out these three points that I outlined earlier? And the governor's legal counsel said, we thought if we issued an executive order, it would be immediately challenged in court. That's just an observation, JR. But for him to make these, make this ask of the ledge 11 days out, about 2 days ago, Senator Fitzgerald and Speaker Voss, as we're about to hear later in the show, they were on the governor's side. So does this call for legislative action immediately surprise Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald and Speaker Voss?
Well, I don't know they're going to agree with it. I'm confident of that, because in that conference call this week, they said that they believe that clerks have the resources and the creativity to accommodate what's going on, that this will still go forward okay. I mean, let's be honest. There are some politics here at play in all these decisions, because they're trying to figure out who's his benefit. For example, Scott Fitzgerald, that conference call, said there's a certain segment of voters, to paraphrase his words, who show up every year on election day. They're not going to go ahead and ask absentee ballots. Typically, those are older voters who vote Republican. They're used to going out on election day. Those voters would tend to benefit Daniel Kelly. They're probably looking at absentee ballots out of Milwaukee County, seeing like what returns are like compared to a normal spring election, trying to figure out, okay, who's this benefit? Who's this going to help? Because your point about how the governor's order would be challenged if he issued one, whoever loses the Supreme Court race, if this election isn't changed, people tell me, likely has a good case for a lawsuit to challenge the results, saying this election was done in such an interesting, unique, pick your word manner that this has got to be thrown into court and the results challenged.
Okay, JR, just one more point, because we got so much news to cover. We don't know whether the governor is asking the legislature to have an election only by absentee ballots, or would you be able to go in person still to your polling place, do we?
I wasn't entirely clear about that. It was a 2-minute video that was posted. I didn't have a chance to listen to the call this afternoon, running about 8 different other things. But also don't forget, we had one federal judge already push back the deadline to register online if you want an absentee ballot without leaving your house for this election. We had a judge in Green Bay in federal court who's going to issue a ruling by Monday on request from the city of Green Bay to move back the election, to go to a mail-in basically system in general. There's a question of standing for the city, but that order should come on Monday. And we had 2 more suits filed yesterday about this. So we're not done talking about lawsuits this election by any means right now.
By any means. Okay. Unusual times call for unusual formats. So what I want to do with this rewind is go through the day-by-day announcements since we taped the last rewind. So I'm going to go first. Let's look at last Friday, March 20th. First of all, as we included, the governor said in last week's show, there's no need to issue statewide stay-at-home order. A federal judge then later on the day, last Friday, extended the deadline, as JR just said, for online queries for absentee ballots. And then later in the day, the governor ordered the beauty and barbershops and tattoo parlors to close. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett entered quarantine. JR, if he's in quarantine for 14 days, he could come out again the Friday before the election. Any PSs on last Friday, my friend?
No, just one caveat to the governor saying he didn't need to issue a statewide stay-at-home order. He said he's going to follow the science on that. So that's one thing that's kind of key about that statement, that there was a little bit of wiggle room on that last Friday.
Okay, now walk us through the next day.
All right, so on Saturday, Department of Corrections announces a moratorium accepting new prison transfers, basically saying that if these prisoners were in line to move from a county jail to the state prison, they can't do that right now. Also, Department of Revenue pushed back until July 15th, the deadline to file your taxes. That move mirrored what the IRS has done with your federal returns. You have a 3-month reprieve from filing and paying your taxes.
Right. And today, the Department of Revenue said that they're going to give extensions to small businesses to also file their taxes. JR, before we go to the next day, what's the count of Department of Corrections employees that have now tested positive?
I want to say three as of earlier this week, but that's off the top of my head, if I remember correctly. I believe it's three.
Okay.
Three or four.
And Wisconsin I is going to try to do an online interview next week with Corrections Secretary Carr. Okay, let's move to Sunday, March 22nd. The League of Wisconsin Municipalities, asked for additional tools to protect election workers and volunteer poll workers. I followed that up with an online interview with Jerry Duchesne, the executive director. That's at wisi.org. The governor extended utility disconnect moratorium. I will get it right. For non-payment to businesses, industries, and farms, and the Supreme Court suspended jury trials and in-person proceedings for many weeks. Any PS on Sunday, JR?
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley issued a very strong dissent to the order suspending jury trials, saying that violates defendants' Sixth Amendment rights under the U.S. Constitution. It's basically, if you go look at Justice Bradley's Twitter feed, she continually tweets these statements from past historical figures about protecting liberties in times of emergency. The people I talk to see that as a sign that she's itching for a lawsuit to be filed to really run these emergency orders through the court system to see, does the governor have the authority to do these things? She is questioning whether the court had the authority to suspend these in-person or these trials, saying again that it's not allowed under state law. And if you can suspend the right to a speedy trial in emergency, you can also then suspend the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, and go on down the list, the Bill of Rights, and she has a big problem with that.
Well, and on the other side, JR, you and I are getting press releases from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty raising questions about some of these executive orders. So you have Justice Bradley on one, and Wallace Bradley on one side, and Will on the other side. Excuse me. Thanks for the correction. Okay, Monday.
Monday, we get the first hit. Governor Evers is going to issue this stay-at-home order. He's calling it a safe-at-home order. He rolled it out basically via Twitter, saying that he was going to close non-essential businesses. He would release the order on Tuesday. That's where we're going to find out details of what was in it. Really got criticized heavily for this because we didn't see the details of what was going to be in that order. Republicans say it was causing confusion. The same day, we got an appeal from the Elections Commission for younger residents to volunteer for the April 7th election to poll workers because we have a continual fear from municipalities that, look, where I go to vote, I think everybody in the room is over 65, except the people who are voting sometimes. These are folks who are most vulnerable to in this pandemic. We're getting in these lawsuits, reports from municipalities of the number of poll workers who have said they're begging off working on election day because they are afraid of being exposed. So they're trying to find younger residents, others who can man the polls, because without those workers, we don't have an election, essentially.
Yeah, the headline in the State Journal front page was potentially up to 50% of Madison poll workers were not going to show up on election day. I want to turn to Tuesday, but before we get into the bullet points on Tuesday, let's hear from the governor saying, here's why I reversed myself on Monday. He issued the order on Tuesday, and reversing himself from Friday, I don't think a stay-at-home order is necessary. There's what the governor said.
Late last week, I said I didn't think we need to go to a safer-at-home order. That's something I didn't think that we needed to do, and it's not something I wanted to do. Healthcare operations, grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, banks, critical infrastructure, and businesses that ship and deliver groceries and foods and goods directly to residences, among others, will continue to stay open. Over the past several days, we've been working with public health experts, local governments, stakeholders, business leaders to determine how we can best keep folks safe while continuing to provide the essential services and keep our economy strong. We need folks to take the safer at home order I signed today seriously.
Okay, now let's go through exactly what happened on Tuesday, March 24th. As JR and I said, the governor formalized his safer at home order, and it was important that he put a date on it, 1 month from March 24 to April 24. The Evers administration began listing businesses generally considered essential and non-essential. I want to stop at this point. I checked with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and I said, you guys are the referee over there. Questions about whether essential, non-essential were directed to you. And here's their total. In 3 days, WEDC, 3,009 queries in terms of essential, non-essential. 1,620 have been answered. 1,389 are pending. This included queries like, I think my employer is non-essential, but we're being made to work. How do you guys rule? I just find that number fascinating. Going back through what was said on Tuesday, startling numbers from DHS Secretary Andrea Palm. Modeling, she said, suggests that if Wisconsin residents don't adopt safer at home, 22,000 of our fellow Wisconsin residents could be positive by April 8th, and this other stunning number, wide range, between 400 and 1,500 could die by April 8th. Green Bay sued to cancel in-person April 7th voting, as JR alluded to earlier, to allow the clerks to mail ballots to all registered voters and count the ballots until June 2nd. Interesting, the New York Times reported that the Democratic National Committee, was making contingency plans for the July 13th through 16th National Convention in Milwaukee. I want to come back to that, JR, but one more thing that happened Tuesday. Democratic State Representative David Bowen of Milwaukee, first legislator to be test positive for the COVID-19 virus. Okay, JR, give me your thoughts on the Times report, contingency plans, July 13, July 16 of convention in Milwaukee.
Well, don't forget that Summerfest is right before the national convention.
That's got moved to September.
Yeah. So what's that tell you? Now, there are things that they could do for like have a a virtual convention where the states kind of cast their ballots virtually. You can still have speeches, all these kinds of things. But this is really supposed to be Milwaukee's chance to shine, to prove it's on the national stage, like it's worthy of being on the national stage with your Houstons, your Tampas, your Chicagos, your New York states that have these big conventions. It would almost rob the city of the chance to prove it can pull this off if this is canceled.
Yeah, okay. And do we know how far along those contingency plans are, your theory?
Not sure where exactly how far along they are. They're talking about it, but we also had Joe Biden say that he wants to continue with the convention. It shouldn't be called off. So for what it's worth, that's where he's at on things. But you know, we'll see. It's so hard to predict where we're going to be in July when we're sitting here at the end of March and not sure, like, okay, the governor said this order goes to April 24th. Will it all be over then? Or we're going to talk about extension after April 24th? What's going to happen after that?
What's your thought, JR? What's left of the presidential primary contest between Joe Biden and Senator Sanders?
Well, if we go ahead with our April 7th election, there's really not a chance for Bernie Sanders to make a big last stand in Wisconsin or like really change momentum, because the vote really is so kind of scattered in some ways. I mean, if you were having a typical election, like, you know, you would see Bernie Sanders out there mobilizing college kids on college campuses, having big rallies in places like Madison and Milwaukee, where you'd see all these people crammed into an arena and go, okay, the Sanders campaign still has this pulse. There's still a chance. Without those rallies, there's no oxygen for Sanders to kind of change the narrative. You're also now seeing all these states moving their elections to June 2nd. It's almost like becoming a second Super Tuesday. The challenge for Sanders is, how do you campaign from now until June 2nd to change the dynamic? I mean, Joe Biden is acting like if he is the presumptive nominee. I mean, granted, he has a significant lead in delegates. Nationally, we'll say it's all but over for him to win, but he hasn't clinched it yet. So it's just a really odd election. It's just a difficult thing to see. And oh, by the way, I think June 2nd is like only less than a month away from the drop dead date from the national Democrats. They have your primaries. So it's getting late in the game. Can you really persuade voters right now? We're seeing what's happening with this pandemic. Okay, we're gonna take a chance and totally shift gears as Democrats and go from Biden being the front runner to jumping on the Bernie Sanders bandwagon again. It's such an unknown out there about how this is going to play out.
Right. Okay. Walk us through what happened on Wednesday 25th, please.
So Wednesday, we had Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senator Leader Scott Fitzgerald really didn't say much on Tuesday. The governor released his order. On Wednesday, we did an hour-long conference call with them. Basically, they said that they had some questions about how it was rolled out, didn't like that. They weren't going to quibble with what he did, because now's the time to second guess. They also backed the governor on repeatedly saying that we should move forward the April 7th election. They believe that clerks have the ingenuity to pull this off. They accepted the governor's call, didn't really commit to what's going to happen after April 24th. Also talked about the possible state package we're going to have, because remember the feds, I think the House as of a little while ago passed this $2 trillion stimulus package.
Good. Yes.
Now we're going to see what's going to come to the state. There was a provision, I believe, in that package that says all states get a minimum of $1.5 billion, but there's going to be a formula. So how much will Wisconsin get? I don't know. But that could go a long way in trying to balance the books for Wisconsin over this next year and 3 months before this budget is over. But that's something to watch. But they want to wrap around what the state does, what the federal does, not have an overlap there.
And
we also Department of Ag issued cease and desist order 16 companies, price gouging in the pandemic.
Right. Okay. And let's end the segment talking about March 25th with some segment of the press conference from Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald on about three different topics. And we all covered them, so let's let the leaders speak for themselves, please.
So you guys have the authority to adopt a joint resolution that would revoke the governor's public health emergency. Under what circumstances would you consider doing that?
I got to be honest with you. What you just laid out there is not something that I think we've run by Ledge Council attorneys or anyone else at this point. So I'm not really prepared to say that That would be something that we would even consider.
Would you support having the election on April 7th, but having it be mail-in ballots only?
No, I think we need to allow the clerks, who have been incredibly resourceful, to make those decisions. I mean, there are people who can figure a process where you only allow a certain number of people inside, right? You only, you know, they've even said making sure every person has their own pen so that they give away a pen so nobody even uses that same thing. I think there are a lot of ways that we can ensure that they are done safely. So I think there's a lot of things that are already being done that don't require us to do anything like an all-mail ballot. I think that the idea that the government can shut down businesses is one that I have serious problems with, right? But I also respect the fact that this should be really rare and under the most difficult circumstances. And frankly, this is in those cases. So I think we have to find that balance, and it's not easy. We're gonna be able to look back in hindsight and perhaps say we made a lot of mistakes. But I don't know how else we can try to get this virus under control so that we can get rid of the ability for all of these things to hamper our ability to move and to associate basic fundamental American rights.
That's why this is so painful right now, is because not only Wisconsinites, but Americans are so used to having those liberties. And even if they don't exercise them on a daily basis, suddenly when it's taken away from them, it is just something that goes against the grain of everyone that lives in this state and this country. And that's the way it should be. We should not tolerate this for no good reason, and we certainly shouldn't tolerate it for a long period of time unless it's in the public's best interest.
Okay, JR just got a press release from Senator Fitzgerald. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to walk through what happened on Thursday, March 26th. The Capitol, as of 8 a.m., was closed indefinitely for the first time. Now, some perspective. It was closed a few months ago when there was a fire in downtown Madison. That was temporary. I remember on 9/11, the Capitol didn't close. They checked everything. They limited access and checked everything and closed the four out major portico doors, but the Capitol didn't close. So that's a very real effect. It'll only open our Capitol if the during the health emergency, if the Supreme Court is in session or the legislature is in session. And just a footnote, the 96-0 U.S. Senate vote included, obviously, the vote of for the federal stimulus package, obviously included the votes of our two U.S. senators. Two more lawsuits were filed yesterday, as J.R. alluded to earlier. One would void the witness requirement when an absentee ballot is cast. The second would push the election back until after the end of the emergency declaration, which, as we said, is April 24th. Okay, JR, I've got some wrap-up comments, and we've got a retirement, but tell us now what Senator Fitzgerald just said.
Senator Fitzgerald is not going for the governor's idea of pushing back our meeting to mail absentee ballots to all registered voters. This is reading exactly from Fitzgerald's statement that Governor Evers, quote, "This proposed procuring, printing, verifying, and mandating the mailing of millions of ballots within 10 days. Even he knows that's not logistically feasible. The clerks of the state should know this is a complete fantasy." So obviously, I would take that as a sign he's not going to have the Senate convene to come together. Oh, don't forget, the Wisconsinians for Law and Liberty was critical of this proposal, saying, pointing back to, remember that lawsuit that was filed about voters who may have moved but haven't updated their address or didn't respond to a mailer from the state checking their address? How can you send, in Will's words, ballots to those voters? You're not sure they actually live there. That could be a problem. So don't expect this to happen anytime soon with the state legislature.
Governor Evers said today that the ledge would have to act. Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald says not going to happen. I just want to touch on the recap of the actual numbers from the Department of Health Services briefing. As of today, 13,140 tested, positives 842. That's a positive rate of 6%. Tragically, 13 deaths. And the governor said there is a special concern, African Americans in the north side of Milwaukee with a CDC team there. One more thing on that. The medical officer, I'm sorry, yes, the medical officer said, why social distance? Over the next 2 weeks, we have a chance to have a peak in the number of COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin. In 2 weeks, If we don't social distance, we may not peak until summer. Okay, JR, before we get to the retirement, let's talk quickly about what might happen next week. Which I'll go first. We might get, are we supposed to get a federal judge ruling on Monday?
By Monday, a ruling in that decision, but I will be, while I sip my Irish whiskey tonight, watching the federal court filings because we got the decision last Friday around 8 or 9 o'clock. So be paying attention to Twitter tonight if you want to see that decision. It could come at any minute. The judge set a 3 p.m. today deadline to file stuff, then he hopes to have a decision quickly.
And that Irish whiskey, of course, is for medicinal purposes only. Absolutely. We could get some details on the federal stimulus package, which President Trump is expected to sign soon. And JR, finally, do you think we'll get a tentative date for a virtual state Senate session or too soon?
I think they're going to try another test run of that. So stay tuned to see how they work out the bugs and if that can go forward. But again, they indicated on this week they wanted to see this federal package first. It sounds like the EVERS folks are presenting ideas to the legislature for this package. They're not really sharing what's in that package just yet or proposed ideas, but they got to work that out first, see the federal stuff, see how it wraps around before they're going to meet. And oh, by the way, you mentioned the numbers that DHS has been bringing about what happens if we don't take these steps. This is one of the challenges for the EVERS folks, really, and just for government in general. If they're successful, if we prevent these infections and these deaths, people will go, oh, it wasn't that bad. So it's a challenge of, you know, proving the unprovable. Yes, this worked. We avoided these deaths because of the social distancing versus people saying, oh, this is an overreaction. Only this many people got sick. Why we do all these things? You know what I mean? It's just a real challenge to drive that message to the public of this is necessary to do these things, because if you're successful, people will wonder if you overreacted to the entire situation.
Okay, final topic. I want to cover a icon in our Wisconsin legislature. Will be leaving the building finally in January. State Senator Fred Risser, 92. Will be ending 64 years of service in the legislature. Let's go down quickly his many accomplishments and over a distinguished career. As I said, legislator for 64 years, Madison Democrat, longest serving legislator in the nation. I understand he's a World War II veteran. I saw news clips that he's the only World War II veteran still in any legislature in the nation. Elected to the Assembly in 1956, the Senate in 1962. 25 years as a Senate president once they changed the law that the lieutenant governor would not be the Senate president. In his press release, he cited a legacy that included the Clean Indoor Air Act. Seniors over 65 can audit UW classes for free. He was an anchor, kind of dictated the terms of the 10-year process of remodeling the Capitol that gave us all air conditioning. And he was, for decades, on the Building Commission dictating the growth of state government building and the maintenance. It's interesting. Fourth generation Risser to serve, but the first Democrat. He had fathers and grandfathers. One was a unionist and a progressive. Any memory of Senator Risser, JR?
The first things that Senator Risser told me when I got here 20 years ago was he did not take the elevators. Yep. I talked to him today. He has never once in 64 years taken an elevator in the state capitol. Even when he was on crutches, he said, he still took the stairs. Because of him, if I'm going two floors up, I always take the stairs. Now, three or four is a different story, but because of it, that's just something remarkable about this guy, that he also, by the way, on his 92nd birthday, rode 92 miles on his bicycle. Yes. That's not common for somebody of his age, but talking to him today, he said it started to dawn on him recently that if he were to run again, he would be 97 at some point in that term. It just was time, he said, to retire.
Congratulations, Senator Fred. And that, of course, real quickly, JR, we also got an announcement, Democratic Rep. Chris Taylor of Madison. She's been there, I think, 10 years, a member of Joint Finance, a spokesman for some major Democratic causes. She will not seek any office in the legislature. Kelda Royce is going to run for Risser's seat. And any other updates before we close, JR?
You know, Taylor was viewed as a top candidate to run for that seat if and when Risser retired. She's not going to run for anything, saying that sacrifices her family has made the last 9 years since she won a special election in 2011. Don't forget, Royce ran for Congress in 2012, leaving the Assembly, ran for governor in 2018.
Yes.
In that primary. So there's a kind of a feeling she's itching it back into state government and have a role again in the Capitol. This is a chance to maybe do that. Scott Ross, a longtime leader of Wisconsin now, Democratic activist, former Democratic aide, ran against Doug La Follette for Secretary of State in 2006 in that primary, I believe. He's thinking about running. Watch Sheila Stubbs, state representative from Madison. We have three other people who have registered whose names are escaping me right now, but this could be a crowded primary because in Madison, politics are almost like a blood sport. Yeah. I mean, these seats don't open very often. This one, 64 years. It is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to run for this seat for a lot of people. And it, they know it's a safe seat, and it's a platform to do other things if they want to use it that way. So expect a spirited primary for that seat.
Okay. A lot of news, but we're out of time. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
And this has been a Rewind for a fascinating week in the Capitol. Rewind for March 27.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Wisconsin Realtors Association, bringing Wisconsin communities to life with great homes, businesses, and neighborhoods. The Wisconsin Realtors Association, the voice of real estate.